This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Happy Friday, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week. This is different because usually we have our episodes come out on Thursdays, but I said the wrong date, and I also found it awesome because it actually is our guest's birthday today, Caroline. So happy birthday, Caroline, from Cinema Hearts. I have not much more to say about my week because I just want to get to the episode. It's really good. So enjoy.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Caroline Weinroth from Cinema Hearts. Hey.
Hey.
So thank you so much for answering my message. Because, wow, I get to talk to a basically D.C. local celebrity. And the music scene, too. It's true. It's true. Like, honestly, I saw you live. Didn't you play New Year's? Or what show were you playing?
I was at Flower Bomb's New Year's show at Jamie.
You were there. And then you played, I swear you played recently, though.
I played February 11th at the Runaway.
Yes, that's right. You did. Yes. I was like trying to remember all the dates. I'm horrible with dates.
That's okay. So every day. I also forget them.
So I was going to ask, wow, I'm crazy and going on to a different area, but how did you even get started with this? This is like the two worlds together, I guess, pageants and rock and roll is, I guess, what I call it, right? Because It's totally opposite than, you know, Passion Queen and all that.
Thanks. So before I started Cinema Hearts officially, I was always involved with theater and especially musical theater. And then I started writing my own songs because there just weren't a lot of roles for me at the time to play. I was probably about like 19. And I learned to play guitar and learned to write songs. And I used to perform at open mic nights in the area. But yeah, Cinema Hearts, it started with my love of theater. And
is that where the name comes from somewhat?
Yeah, I worked in a movie theater in Fairfax, Virginia, called Cinema Arts, which is still there.
In West Virginia?
Northern Virginia.
Oh, Northern Virginia.
Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay, yeah, no, because I'm from Springfield, so I'm trying to remember where is it located. So it's in Fairfax, Virginia. Where?
Yeah, it's Fair City Mall, so near City of Fairfax.
Okay, yeah, I remember that movie.
Do you really?
Oh Lord, what a time!
Yeah, and the theater is still there.
I'm so happy.
So I worked there, and I used to play guitar when the movies weren't showing because it was such a small theater; they only had 6 movies screening at a time. And they all tend to start at the same hour block. So you'd have like 2 hours of not really doing anything. So I used to play guitar in the box office. And as a joke, I said, I would love to call my band Cinema Hearts after this place. And my coworkers were like, okay, great. And now it's a real thing. And very astonishing that it's kind of like Cinema Hearts has grown beyond itself and kind of grown beyond me. So it's very cool. But yeah, I feel like lately with the release of our latest EP, Your Ideal, it's sort of like the professional debut, if you will, of Cinema Hearts, kind of more debut on a national scale, because I did put out a few songs on my own before then. But it was more like, I guess, like experimenting and also kind of getting familiar with the local DIY music scene, since I didn't know was a thing till much later in my life. I wish I knew sooner, but I just didn't know.
You know, it happens, but now you know, and look where you are, right?
Like, I always like to believe, like, things happen when they happen for good reasons.
Me too.
So it's okay. Like, everything I'm doing now, I could not have imagined doing when I first started Cinema Hearts. I don't think I would have had the wherewithal to really do it.
Plus, you need those experiences, too, like the learning curves to get to where you are. So I feel like sometimes it builds that confidence up. But you know, I was going to say for the album, the EP just came out in August, right?
Yeah, August 2022. My EP, Your Ideal, which was produced by Bar T. Strange. And I'm I'm amazed that people listen to it and
I
love it.
I love it. No, thank so you. I was playing it for my mom earlier, and before I even read your bio, I literally said it's the 1960s/70s. That's it. Like, your voice and everything about it is beautiful. Like, thank the story you have with it. I'm like, where did this sound come from? Your voice is just so amazing.
I was just really drawn to that, like, an older era of music when I was starting out. I think because at the time, I felt like I had a very limited vocal range or just a style. Like, I was just, again, I was into musical theater, which has, like, very smooth melody lines, a lot of repetition. It tends to have, like, a lot of wordplay in the lyrics and, like, very rhythmic. So I was drawn to, like, pop music from, like, the 50s and 60s and part of the 70s. And that played a lot into my songwriting at the time and still does. And then when pageants came in, I did my first pageant when I was 18. I did the Miss Northern Virginia pageant.
I was wondering about that. Because I actually wanted to do that, and then I never
did. Really?
Yeah, I never did. And I don't know why.
There's always a chance. But, you know, I felt the same way. My mother did pageants when she was a teenager. Not seriously. Not in the same capacity I did. But she used to tell me stories about it when she did them in California. And we used to watch the Miss America pageant on TV. So I have a vivid memory of, like, watching a ventriloquist on stage and, you know, seeing all that excitement. And I was so drawn to it because it felt like those were the type of women that I wanted to be. And I felt like I wasn't there yet. Like, I didn't feel pretty at all growing up. I didn't feel liked. I felt awkward.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a lot of people, right? Like, right. If you're a teenager, early 20s, finding yourself.
And also, if, like, I feel like, because I know this sounds weird, we're not different in a weird, like because we're creative people, I feel like we also have all those emotions and we feel all those emotions. And so I feel like that, anyways, but I totally get where you're coming from. But
yeah, continue. And let me tell you, being an emotional person and then doing something as intense as a body competition is not a good mix.
I was going, I didn't even think about that, especially with beauty passions have to do the whole...
Yeah, so when I did Miss America, I did it for 3 years. And when I was competing, the first, like, 2.5 years, swimsuit was very much still a part of the competition. And it's been phased out now, and they officially stopped it, like, my final year.
Finally? I mean,
But it was such an interesting experience because it's, like, that's showbiz. You know what I mean? Like, we can... choose in some capacity to not judge women on how they look or how they speak or what they wear or how they present themselves and all that stuff, but it's like at the end of the day, people are still like judging you. So I always thought like it's how you, so it's like how you choose to like lean into it or to resist it. But I did the Miss Nova pageant at 18. I hated it because I realized because it was so disorganized and it was not welcoming to a newcomer at all, and I was like, I was not very put together. There's old photos of me that hopefully won't see the light of day where it's like my hair's like falling out of place and I was wearing my old prom dress and it was so bad. But it was an experience that stuck with me. So when
You tried.
Yeah, I tried. You know, and to put yourself out there in any way.
Oh, for sure. Like, well, especially on stage too, because you said you did stand up or also you went on stage before too.
I did theater. I did musical theater.
Yeah, the musical theater though too. And yeah, when you're on stage like that and putting yourself out.
Yeah, and even then that was a little different because I was always in the ensemble. So I was always in a group. Whereas like if you're doing a pageant, you're solo.
Right. That's so true. So I apologize for mixing it up earlier with the
Cinema Heart Show is basically stand up too.
It really kind of is, isn't it? Like it's fun, right? You have the stand up and then you have the singing. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. And even though I didn't like that first experience with pageants, it always stuck with me. So when I started Cinema Hearts, I was like, well, what if it was Miss America playing guitar? Because you don't see that. It's like, I was like, what's the guitar is such a masculine legacy. What's the most hyper feminine icon? And I was like, well, Miss America, that's what it was to me.
It's so true too, because you picture, right? I know it sounds weird, like the masculine phallic symbols almost.
Exactly.
Like, and then you have, she has to be poised, but that's not fully true, you know? But wow, that's so, what a great idea.
Yeah, I love the, like the tension between those two images. So I always played Cinema Heart shows in like heels and sparkly dresses. And then when I graduated college, I was really involved with my school's music productions club, and I'd put on like DIY shows, and we had open mics, we had a festival, and it was just such a fun way to kind of encourage like new musicians and songwriters to come
out.
You're
a music teacher, right?
Now I am, yeah.
Yeah, now you are.
I wasn't,
yeah.
But now I am, yeah.
It just kind of seems like it leads up to you being a music teacher.
It did. I never thought I would be a music teacher because I wasn't a music major. I took like piano lessons as a child. No, I was a theater major. And then I minored in audio engineering. So before the pandemic, I worked in live sound. So I did live sound at Comet Ping Pong. I did it for Arlington County for their different concert series. But then the pandemic happened, there were no shows, and I was like, I gotta pivot. And for me personally, like, I love what I gained learning from sound engineering. Like, it even helped me in pageants because my talent was electric guitar. So like, it was easy for me to know exactly what audio I needed for my talent, and then I could communicate it to the backstage staff. And then I love like working with Girls Rock and working with the musicians to help them like figure out their audio needs. But I did not like working live sound gigs. It's a tough business doing it. So I'm happy to
really
move. Yeah, because if you think about it, it's like, well, I was often the only woman on the team of people, and all my coworkers were nice, but it's like, often we had clients, you know, they'd see my coworkers who looked like typical sound guys, and then me, who's Miss Northern Virginia. You know, it's like, no one believed I could actually do my job, even though I could. So I was getting to a point where I was kind of mentally checked out of it, and I was just showing up for the paycheck. But now it's pretty cool that it's like, I kind of work for myself as a music teacher, and I can take like everything I've learned through all these different performance aspects and pass it on to my students. And then they also teach me a lot of cool new things too.
That's so cool. So are you working for a school, or are you a private teacher?
I used to. I worked for a few different schools in the area, but now I'm transitioning to my own in my own business, which is very exciting.
Oh, congratulations. Thanks. So yeah. I'll have to interview you like when you have it all started up,
yeah,
later
so
on for that business.
Music lessons, singing, piano, guitar, songwriting, we can jam. Yeah.
I do. No, I'm actually being serious.
Yeah, we can.
I would love
Like, that's what's been so cool is because it's like, I mean, also when I was starting Cinema Hearts, I had no idea what I was doing. So a lot of it was like trial and error, or reading like blogs on DIY music, or kind of learning from some other people who I met in the scene. But what's so cool is like now, like if someone was starting up, I could literally have the answer for them and be like, this is what you got to do. It took me years to figure this out, but here's what you do. Cause I didn't have a music teacher like that growing up, and that would have been pretty cool.
I was very lucky to have, I learned the flute.
Okay.
So I actually am relearning it. My coworker should be very proud because she's a violinist and does orchestra. So, and so she was like, no, pick it up again. You're going to love it. And I'm like, this is amazing. And now I see why. Like,
yeah, I felt the same with piano. I had so many tantrums as a kid playing piano. And now I'm like, wow, I'm so happy I know this.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden I wanted to go and paint. I'm like, what is happening? I feel like this Renaissance woman. I don't know what's going on. But no, seriously, that's amazing. Like, you know, like to circle back to saying like the strong against like, you know, the masculine with the feminine, it really captures also your EP too, with a lot of the lyrics I was listening to. I really loved, even though it's the one I really loved, where was it? It was like
Every day is a day without you.
I don't know why I like it so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
I really love that one. I know the popular one is the EP's name, and I love that one too. But something about that one, I don't know why. Yeah, I was reading the lyrics too earlier because I love reading lyrics too. Mm-hmm. So I know I did that with Flower Bomb's lyrics, and I just love them. So
I love
usually
Flower Bomb's lyrics.
Me too. So I usually write them out in cursive because I do all their handwriting for them. So I just,
oh,
yeah. So
makes
a lot
so
of
sense now.
Yeah, so I do a lot of their handwriting, and so I was like, oh, can I make your little lyrics into things? And yeah, anyways, I just read them, and I feel like they're so meaningful, too, and it seems like you're just telling a story throughout your whole album, too, and it's really beautiful. So
thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Say, what is your favorite song on this EP? I mean, I know, like, they're probably all special, but...
My favorite's Mirror, the first song.
You know what? That was actually, I had that one, Mirror, and the other one. That's so
funny. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, something with Mirror, and that was the first song I played for my mom was Mirror. And she simply was like, oh, tell me about this.
That's a beautiful
this
voice.
Teaching business that you want to be starting. This is amazing with music.
Yeah, so if you are a private music teacher, oftentimes your options are either to teach in your home, as like a home studio, to rent a space and teach lessons from there, or to work with a business or like a music school. And I was doing that for a while, where I was working at a few different music schools and got to really learn what I liked about teaching, things that I wanted to improve on for myself, how I like to structure lessons. It was also a really cool way to learn how to work with different ages.
I'm a teacher myself. I'm I'm an art teacher and substitute teacher. So I totally get what you mean.
Yeah, so you probably get it. Because I remember, and again, this was why I was so hesitant about teaching at first, and I thought I wasn't qualified. One, I thought, I need the music degree. I need this, like, I need this high level of learning. Because I stopped playing piano formally at 13. I did it from age 5 to age 13, like, pretty seriously, because my mom was a piano teacher. She wasn't my teacher, but she was always sitting right there next to me when I had to practice. So I had very, very structured lessons growing up. And I just thought, like, oh, I never made it to, like, a higher level and all this stuff. And then once I started teaching, I was like, whoa, I know a lot. Like, I knew more than I thought. And it came back to me so quickly. And then it was also just, like, really fun to learn how to approach things in a more modern way. Like, when you and I were taking lessons growing up, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have iPad apps. We didn't have a lot of games. So now that's like an option for a lot of students, especially like recording things on the fly.
And then like they can listen to it more too like, because I had a flute teacher. That's where I was very lucky. But at the same time, like I still only had the books. We didn't have any of that information whatsoever.
Yeah. So like, one of the things I really wanted to do since the start was have my own business, because then I got control. I got to structure how I wanted. I could do my schedule how I wanted. If I had a show with Cinema Hearts, it'd be easier to move things around. So finally, I'm going to have the opportunity to be in a place where I can have that. So I'm very excited for that.
I can't wait to see what happens with it. And I honestly come back on when it develops even more, because I would love to hear more about it too. So
thanks.
Of course. So how did you learn like electric guitar? I mean, did you do first acoustic guitar and then move up? Or?
I did. I got an acoustic guitar as a Christmas present when I was a teenager, and it sat in my bedroom for a year because I didn't know what to do with it. Now, my advice, see, we're looking back, we're giving advice now. My advice, if you get an instrument, go take a lesson. Go take lessons for like a month. You don't have to do a lot of commitment, but it's a good way to get started. Anyway, so I was sitting in my room for a year, and then what did I do? I think I did YouTube or Ultimate Guitar. I probably did Ultimate Guitar, and I just started learning my favorite songs. So I would learn chord shapes. And one thing I used to do was I would record things like with my phone or with a mic, and then I would upload covers to SoundCloud, and I didn't promote them at all. I just put them up there as like kind of like an achievement, like, all right, I'm gonna record a song and I'm gonna put it up
that's
there.
Smart. That's a lot of fun. It's almost like homework, you know. I'm giving
kind
yourself
of,
this little, like turning yourself this in, and then you're like yes.
you want like a goal as a
exactly
musician,
a goal,
whether it's like a recital
yeah.
or an open mic or a performance or just uploading it to like TikTok or SoundCloud or Instagram.
It's like just a goal. Yeah, exactly. It's just that like booster too, to be like, yes, I did this. I think that's
So what I used to do was like, if I like, especially with bar chords, so when you have to put your whole hand across the guitar, if I didn't know how to do it, I would just skip the chord and I would just kind of sing over it. Cause I was primarily a singer at the time. So on a lot of my early like performance with guitar, I could kind of get away with just singing pretty over it. And then I got an electric guitar, I think a year after. I was playing acoustic for about a year, and then I got an electric guitar, and I just loved it. Like, it felt really nice in my hand, which is another piece of advice. If you, the way to play guitar is you got to find the instrument that works for you. So I like a lot, like, thinner necks. And I still have that same guitar, so the one I perform with is the only guitar I've ever had for electric guitar. And then, yeah, and then I did take lessons for a summer. My guitar teacher, his name was Phillips, and he has a project called Strip Mall Ballads. And he was a really great guitar teacher. He taught me how to write solos, and he was so encouraging. I wish I had stuck longer, but I was in my senior year of college at the time, and I was just so overwhelmed with running a music club and having a band and being a senior and just, you know, the emotions of being a young woman. So I had to take a pause on lessons. But that's why I think it's kind of cool now to be a teacher, because I can kind of see it from the other side. And also, like, my students will bring me songs to learn, and they're usually outside my genre or outside my typical musical exploration. So it, like, gets me learning something a little different.
Makes you think.
Yeah, like, I had a student who would bring me, like, Smashing Pumpkins songs, which are all in, like, different tunings. And those actually inspired me to write, like, some new Cinema Heart songs. So that was kind of cool.
Really? That's awesome. Are you having it? Not, we'll go back to this, but are you having any new songs come out with any of those types?
That particular one, I play it live. It's called Love's Not Enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I play that one live. It's not recorded yet. I'm hoping to record new songs maybe the end of this year. But I do have, like, a recording project where I re-recorded some, like, classic older Cinema Heart songs that initially were on the internet. And then I took down my demos before I put out Your Ideal, just to have, like, a fresh professional start. And I thought no one was going to notice. And then people kept messaging me, people I didn't know, and they were like, where's the other songs? And I was like, I didn't know anyone listened to that.
That's so cute, though. Yeah. That's so nice.
No, it's really nice. And, like, I'm happy I have those older recordings, because it's like, I wouldn't be the musician, the producer that I am now had I not done that. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I wish I had something bigger at the time. And now I finally get to. So I have those, like, in the works that I'm hoping to release this year.
It's like a re-release, you know, without
feeling. In a way. Or, like, I think of, like, Taylor Swift, how she re-recorded her songs. That's what I'm, out again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too. You and I are in sync.
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's wonderful. Anyways, to, like, because I was like, oh, that's so cool that you take some of your student. You were so inspired by your students that you have made a song. That's really cool. So you get to see different perspectives from them, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I was going to say, if people are afraid to do guitar, because for me, I sometimes get afraid because I have petite hands. Like you were saying, there are different types of heads. What would you suggest?
So I actually hear that comment a lot, which makes a lot of sense. Here's what I would recommend is getting a guitar with a thinner neck. So the neck is where you're going to put your hand around to form the chord. And you want one that's a little bit thinner. That'll be a little bit easier. Another option is if, like, you're a smaller person, is you could also get, like, a 3/4 size guitar. I don't recommend that for all adults, but for some people it might be more appropriate. So that's, like, a guitar that's, like, a little bit smaller than full size.
Because that's another... my foot.
Oh, really? Yeah, so that might work for you. In general, if you're able to visit a guitar shop in person and try things out, that's a way to go, because obviously you can't really, like, order a guitar and then who wants to go return it? Maybe if you got it from, like, a guitar center or something. But going in person or trying out friends' guitars. Another thing is getting the guitar set up, especially in acoustic. So that way, like, if you want the strings to be a little bit easier to press down on, you could maybe have, like, the bridge lowered or evened out. And then doing thinner strings can also help. And then this is for acoustic specifically that I kind of think of. And another thing that I recommend is if you have a hard time with acoustic, try an electric. Because with an electric guitar, electrics are naturally smaller.
I wanted to do
that
more.
Yeah, actually. Electrics are naturally smaller. And also, because you have an amp, it's not like you have to press down as hard. Oh, yeah. That's so like, true. You don't want to be like gripping a guitar because that's going to cause so much tension, and then your wrist is going to hurt, and you're not going to want to play. Like, yeah, you don't have to press that hard. Yeah. Oh. So those are my quick tips. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. See, we got a free lesson, by the way.
There
guys.
You go.
Thank you, by the way. And I might have to go and talk to you more about this later on because I've really been into wanting to do that. So, yeah, I might have to. Anyways, so. Are you from this area?
I'm from Virginia.
You are from Virginia, in Fairfax originally. Mm-hmm. So you're like me then. That's so cool.
Yep.
I was like, you are from here. So no wonder. That makes more sense. So you already knew all the music scene then since we were really young then, huh?
I mean, I was involved in the music scene like when I was in college, more so. I didn't know about it at all in high school. I wish.
More
I
a theater.
More yeah, I was busy being a theater person.
I wish I did that, though, but I did do acting after college, but I wish I did that. That's so cool, though. You must have had a lot of fun, though, still, even though you transitioned now. It must have helped with your performances, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite play you did or anything around musical, I mean?
Here's the thing. So when I was doing musical theater, I wanted to be the lead, right? Like I wanted to have my stage time and I wanted to work really hard for that, but I never got that. I was always in the background ensemble, alto.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
Yeah, or else I was also cast in like comedic role with no lines. Now looking back on it, because I have a tough time memorizing lines, that was probably very appropriate.
Okay, see, maybe it was a positive thing they did that. They were like, we love you, Caroline, but let's make sure, you know.
Yeah, but I think the other issue for me at that time, this was like early 2010s, was like there were no roles for any people of color in theater because I'm Asian American and there was like no roles for me to play. Whereas like that's very different now if you think about it. Like the Productions Arena stage does where they kind of have colorblind casting or, you know, Hamilton. So it's just more opportunity now. But favorite play I did, maybe Fiddler on the Roof, because I was the eldest sister. I was Seitel, and I do love Fiddler.
And I'm Jewish, and I love that freaking play.
There you go.
If I was a rich man.
Yeah, you get it.
You get me. But it is so true, though, about because you and I grew up at the same time, it sounds like that there really wasn't any. So I'm just glad that, let's think about this. You went into pageants, and now look at you. You're on your own.
I know. So there you go. I kind of decided I wanted to make my own production, because if you think about it, with theater you have to rely on a casting director to pick you. Now it's not so much the case, because like if you're an actor you can be on TikTok or Instagram, but we didn't really have that at the time. I guess you could have done like your own movie or something.
Well, they did like YouTube different. Sometimes, but even then no one really you could do your
own
movie,
it wasn't as big
even
then.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like
no,
you would have had to have a friend who has a camera and known what they were doing, whereas like now it's like you could pull up your phone and perform, you have an audience in your pocket. But personally, I haven't gone back to theater. I've always thought about it, but like the rehearsal process is a long process. And then just going and doing all that, like, unfortunately, like I'm so busy with Cinema Hearts. It's like, I tend to not be free for rehearsal.
I would say just basically put your fun theater-esque qualities into your songs and performing
that,
on
that's
stage.
How it goes.
That's how I feel. Because why stress yourself out, girl? Like, don't do that.
Absolutely. Like, doing the Your Ideal music video kind of dissatisfied that.
Oh, I love that, by the way. That music video. Okay. Oh my gosh, so fun and beautiful. I don't know.
Thank
like
you. It took years to put that together and come
did
up with
it really?
All the different details. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, if you wanted to expand on that, you can, or if you
sure.
don't.
So the initial concept for the Your Ideal video, which if you all haven't seen it yet, it's a recreation of a beauty pageant, and I'm not going to spoil it too much, but there's some horror elements to it.
That's why I loved
and,
it.
Yeah. And I had this idea, so I wrote Your Ideal when I first came back from competing at the Miss Virginia pageant. So I did the Miss Virginia pageant 3 years in a row. And what would always happen, you win a local first, you win your local pageant. And then in June, all of the local winners go to compete for the state title. And whoever wins Miss Virginia goes to Miss America. And that was my big dream. I wanted to win Miss Virginia, go to Miss America, which is televised, and I wanted to play electric guitar on TV. That was the dream. That was the goal.
You're so
and...
cool.
Thanks. But what would happen is I would go and I'd compete at Miss Virginia and I would be like an anxious mess and I would get so like insecure and end up flopping. My talents would do really well. Like, I'm really proud of all the talents I put together. There's still videos online of them. But like, for me, myself as a pageant competitor, I was just so like anxious. So what would happen is you would have this very intense, beautiful week of doing pageants and then you would go home. And every summer I would come home and then I would have to go and work live sound for these summer concert series where it was like 100 degrees out and no one was listening to me on the crew. And I was like, this sucks. So it was such a letdown, right? And I wrote Your Ideal the summer that I came home from competing at Miss Virginia at first. And I was like dead set, like I'm going to win this someday. Which, spoiler, did not happen, but that is okay. Because sometimes people get confused and they do think I won, and I just let it happen.
It's fine. You won this. You won this. Cinema yeah, in a way. Hearts. You won this.
Yeah. So the Your Ideal music video, when I was competing, I consumed any sort of pop culture that was about pageantry, and I read all this like feminist critique because I was just so curious on like the performance art of it. Like, pageantry is so interesting because it started, at least Miss America started as like a swimsuit bathing beauties contest in the 20s to get people to stick around past Labor Day on the beach. So it's like, you know, that's that. And then for some reason it became this like weird respectability contest to find women who have college educations and aspire to be lawyers or scientists or newscasters or singers or whatever. And then there's all these like random tests along the way. It's just like an interesting hodgepodge of like 100 years of like different things coming
together. It's weird. When I was reading a lot of the history about it, I'm like, what?
It's, and like for me, like if I were, I love pageants. I'm going to say it flat out. I love Miss America. But if I were to like direct one, I would just kind of like acknowledge like it's weird, it's kishy, it's a little goofy. And I think it should be a little fun.
But no,
like,
exactly.
Everyone's so serious on stage, like they don't make it fun anymore. What anyway.
I think they should make it fun too, because
yeah,
that's why
so
I like
that's
it.
That's what I wanted the Your Ideal video to be. I wanted it to be like a true reenactment of what pageants are like, so more true than like Miss Congeniality, say.
Yeah, that's why I like that too.
Yeah, but I also wanted it to be what I imagined a pageant to be. Like, oftentimes when you compete at a local level, you're not competing on a real stage. You might be competing in like a hotel ballroom or like the lobby of someone's business that they donated. So I always wanted this like beautiful red curtain theater, which we do in the video, and just like kind of like an old school glamour, so maybe sort of like a 1960s style like kind of a thing. And that's why like there's an alternate scene of me in a room full of cakes in honestly what was like my pageant bikini, because I had such a tough connection at that time with eating dessert and like honestly was kind of leaning towards a bit of disordered eating. And
well,
I just kind of wanted
I'm
to
glad
like
you're okay.
Yeah, me too, because I was thinking back on that and I was like, that was kind of messed up.
Yeah well, eat that dessert now. You eat
oh absolutely now. Yeah. And it's like one thing I always thought about, because like I said, I was so serious about winning Miss Virginia, but in the Miss America competition today, they do it elimination style. So inspired by reality TV, they eliminate contestants after each category. And traditionally, the categories would start with swimsuit, then go to talent, then go to evening gown onstage question. And I always thought like, gosh, it is so messed up that like, if I don't have a body that's a 10 in swimsuit, I'm not going to get to do my talent on TV. Like, I'm going to be cut. And just, like, that idea, like, haunted me.
It would haunt me, too, though, because, like, I always wondered about that when I was, like, a mm-hmm. young girl. I always was like, but the talent should come first. And then I, And then you're like, this is so messed up because.
Yeah. I mean, in the back in the day, like in the, yeah. I guess the heyday, you could say, of the televised pageant.
Back
so
in
like
the, day.
The 50s through maybe like the 80s, they would do every part of the competition. And then there were no eliminations. They just called like the runners up and the winner at the very
end. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And that's what they do in state pageants. So that's a little bit more traditional. But even though like, I was very privileged to have a body that fits the archetype of like model beauty queen. It's like, I had a tough time working out. Because it's just like, I don't like doing intense exercise. I like walking and stuff. And I just didn't have I am not able to build a lot of muscle. So I didn't have a body that was competitive. And that just like kept messing with me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the scene in the music video was sort of just like me being able to take that on.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and just kind of like prove to myself and to an audience, like, I've always known, like, I look really good in a bikini.
Yeah. It's just that messed with your head. And honestly, that like,
oh yeah, it really did.
That stuff really. I was going to do a physique competition, and that really messed with my head.
Like like the bodybuilding style.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, yeah, similar concept.
Yeah, similar. And then once you start to see your body build up again, like the normal weight, etc., it's just like, I'm so glad I didn't decide to not do that competition because my body got way too.
It was too tiny.
It was too tiny. So I totally get it. I'm glad though that you saw that what was happening, and yeah, that you put it in the video too.
I was too self-aware as a real pageant contestant to like ascend anywhere. But for someone who was making art about it, I was very observant. And in the video, it had a lot of real memorabilia that I've collected over the years of like vintage pageant books, and the trophy that's shown at the beginning is a real trophy that I won.
Wow, that's really cool. I was wondering, and what about the crown?
The crown, so the crown is one that I ordered from a real pageant crown tiara company. It's not the actual one that I won because just in case it became an issue, I didn't want to officially associate it with the Miss America organization. So that's why you don't technically see like my real pageant sash or my real pageant crown. But if any fans ever want to see it, I'll show you someday. So
no, it makes sense though. It honestly makes sense. As an artist, I know what you mean because you trademark. Yeah, but
and also because I wanted one that would show on camera well.
Well, just remind me of the Anastasia crown from our childhood movie. I'm such a dork. I'm like, oh my god, I wanted that crown when I was little.
Yeah, but it's like that's like the interesting thing about it is like, I mean, pageants are dated. They tend to not be very in touch with culture, like in the moment. It tends to always be a little bit behind culture, and you know, most people are not. They don't care, right? But everyone knows what it is. Like everyone has an idea of what Miss America is. Everyone, like you know, I think a lot of women and girls desire that moment of like, oh, you know, that's a little freaky, but like, I would love to be crowned. And that's what kind of what I wanted to comment on with the Your Ideal EP was like the struggle of doing it, but also this intense desire and excitement and satisfaction that you get from putting yourself through this rigorous, like dehumanizing process.
Well, that too. And also, also we were talking about like earlier, you know, how like, and I'm not going back to theater for at all, but you know how you were talking about because you're Asian American. How was that during pageant?
That was really bad. That was really awful.
That's why I went backwards. I was like, you know what? I bet that sucked.
Yes. So you and I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. We grew up in Northern Virginia, which is a very diverse area. And I competed in Southern Virginia, which is very different. So that was also a lot of culture shock. The sweetest people I've ever met, I'm still in close contact with like my pageant directors from that time of my life. Like I still go out and help them out. I actually go out and do sound for them.
That's so
for their
nice.
Pageants, for the
See,
Miss
you
Roanoke
made
Valley
friends.
Pageants.
You
yeah.
Made
so
friends.
It's like even I'm critical of this because I love it, right? Like I still want all of this to continue in a healthy, productive way because I have gain from pageantry. But yeah, so I was one of four Asian women who competed. People confused us. They called me by different names. People,
No.
yeah, people said microaggressions towards me. So it was very upsetting. And that is why, I don't know if you noticed in the music video, but the majority of women who were competing in the Your Ideal pageant were not white, but the woman who crowned was. And that is actually real. That is a real thing that happened at a pageant I competed in where you call it the top five, where you have your four runners up and the winner. And all the runners up were women of color, but our winner looked like the previous year's winner.
No, so it's like, oh, we're going to like make it seem like, oh, that's
But on a positive, the current Miss Virginia, her name is Victoria Schwa, and she was the ballerina dancer, the ballet dancer in Your Ideal. She's actually now Miss Virginia, so she's
Oh
Chinese American. So
my
yeah,
gosh.
she's been doing a great job. She's really
Yay.
awesome.
See, that makes me so happy,
Yeah, all the
honestly.
women who were in the video, except for Mary Rose, who played the winner, they were all real
Right?
pageant contestants.
I
That
love
was really important
that.
to me because I knew if I had like all actors, like they would do great, but it would feel like pastiche, it would feel like imitation. And I was like, there's a very specific way, like you stand on stage, that you walk, that you smile, that you do everything that I knew only real pageant contestants could do.
I believe that, honestly.
Yeah,
That
so very
is.
fortunate to the whole cast of the video for believing.
And I'm just like, I'm really proud of you. That took a long time to make, it sounds like, and that's amazing.
Yeah, so it took a few years. Initially, it was just going to be like a recreation of a pageant, but one that I felt like would be artistic. And then I saw Midsommar, the Ari Aster movie, and I was like, what if it was a horror film? Because in the pandemic, I got really into horror because we were living through a very horrific time.
I
So I was,
love horror, so I get it.
yeah, so I was very inspired by like Black Swan, Jennifer's Body, Psycho, and that's why I wanted to add this unsettling kind of energy to the
Black
video.
Swan, though, definitely. In your video, though, I felt very like Black
Yeah.
Swan-esque because that's one of my favorite movies. Like, it freaks me out for some. I'm just like, I love it. It's beautiful, but so what the heck?
Right, right. But it's just like you want something so bad, you're willing to give yourself to the art that it just eventually consumes you.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. And so then it's good to be able to get out, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe, but not really. Not in that film exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, no, that's really amazing that you've that I mean, it sucked that you had to figure it out during the pandemic that you liked horror films, but at the same
I think
time,
it
it
was an
kind of helped you
appropriate time.
grow. I think so
Yeah.
too. I
And it was
think so too.
actually because of Flower Bomb, the band we mentioned earlier, they had a director, Mitchell Worley, who they've worked with on different projects. And I had the toughest time finding a director for this project because ideally I wanted someone local, so I didn't really have to travel because I knew it was going to be like kind of an ensemble project. Like it wouldn't just revolve around like only me. So I was like, all right, I want to keep it local. I want it to be someone who can do the glamour, but then also do the horror, but not make it parody. So I needed someone who like understood what I was talking about. And could really connect with it and show it in like an honest, kind of loving way. Like that's the thing about the Your Ideal video. It's not like me being like, pageants suck and they should end. It's kind of like it's like that dichotomy of like, God, I want it so bad and I love it, but it's destroying me, but I love it.
Right.
And
Like,
that
that's what
tension.
I read it as. I read it as
Yeah.
that.
So Mitchell Worley, who directed it, he used to do wrestling. So he was talking about like again, like you have to form your body for competition and how it feels kind of like outside of yourself. Like this body isn't my own anymore, but I gotta do this because I want to win. And he was great. He was able to put everything together and we had a phenomenal crew. We had Jessica Flores who made that theater is actually not a real theater. It was just like hanging red curtains and then we
I
had like
was
a wooden,
curious.
yeah, wooden hardwood floor. We actually filmed in the same place as Flower Bomb. We filmed at the lab in
I was
Alexandria.
going to ask
Yeah.
about was that the lab because I know Mitchell. I know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, no, but he's so talented. Like,
Yeah.
honestly, so talented.
Yeah, and he got it. Like, and I couldn't have done that video without him.
That's just real. You guys fooled me with that stage.
Right? Doesn't it look beautiful?
Well, I mean, you just look amazing, but in general, yeah, the whole, just the whole thing came out. It was like perfection. It's beautiful.
Yeah, because just you have to imagine, like, I was emailing directors who oftentimes were men. I really wanted to work with a woman, but the few that I did contact, it is hard, and because a lot of them were booked, so which is good. But again, happy I got to work with Mitchell, but I had to explain to a lot of these directors, like, yeah, so it has to be a pageant, and it's not satire. Also, it's very important that I have a scene of me in a bikini with cakes.
I love that.
And I'm like, amazing. You have to understand this is very important for the art.
And if I don't get that, you know, it's just, it's not going
to
work.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. Honestly, to me, I was like, this is not a real pageant unless there's a swimsuit. Not to say that a real pageant now doesn't have to have a swimsuit, but just like a real horrific pageant.
But exactly. But that swimsuit, though, I do believe adds too, especially with what we were going over.
Right, right.
So I feel like, honestly, you guys just did an amazing job. And you have all the artisticness in you. That's what's really cool is that you have like this brain that could turn anything almost like into this, like, I don't know, like something for your music. It's really cool. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
No problem. Caroline, what do you want to tell people?
You can be whatever you want to be. If you have a vision, it might take some time. It might take some mistakes. It might take moving. It might take making new friends. But anything that you want to do, you can make happen. Like, I never thought the Cinema Hearts would be what I do with my life. And that is amazing to have this outlet to create this world of glamour and drama that I can share with listeners and connect together. And I really believe in anything that any of you set your mind to.
I love that. Honestly, that's really, really awesome that you said that, because yeah, it's, you can do anything.
You know, the scariest risk is just making the decision that's like, oh, I want to do this with my life.
Yeah, you know? That's true. It's the scariest risk, but it's also might be the best risk you ever done.
True. So yeah.
It's like you never know, because exactly, you never know. So, so where can we find you?
You can follow Cinema Hearts on Spotify, where we have our new album, Your Ideal, produced by Barty Strange, detailing all of the drama of the beauty pageant world, and then some. And you can also buy t-shirts and CDs and vinyl on the Cinema Hearts Bandcamp. And if you want some daily, weekly, fun content, I make a lot of videos on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter at Cinema Hearts.
That's awesome. And also, happy early birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
It's going to come out. So actually, it's happy birthday right now.
Yeah.
So.
And if anyone wants to see Cinema Hearts live, we're playing March 10th, 2023 at The Runaway. We're opening for garage rock band Native Sons. So I'm really excited for that. And if you're not in the Washington, D.C. area, I live stream all my concerts. Every single one. And if you miss the live stream, I'll probably post clips the next day. So.
No, you are usually good about that. I've noticed that anyways.
It's still my mom can watch. And people from around the world, you know, because in the pandemic, I loved watching live streams. And like, I, even now, like, I want to support all my friends' bands, but it's like, I'm in a band myself, so I can't always go out.
No, exactly.
But I always wish, like, man, I wish they would stream it. I would love to tune in and support. So that's why I do it.
Honestly, thank you so much for coming on, because this was a lot of fun and I just can't wait to see what you do next. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
I really love this episode, especially because you're celebrating different types of art forms, local artists, musicians, and talking about pageantry. Like, what? It's so much going into this whole episode. I love it. It's a mix of rock and roll and beauty. And honestly, I think that's what makes a woman amazing, and just girls, and just in general, this whole episode is so empowering, and I loved hearing about the music video, Your Ideal. Definitely watch it. It's really, really good. I truly think Carolyn's going places, and I know that I say that a lot with people, but I really do. She has so much drive, and her voice is just simply beautiful, and I can't wait to keep listening to this album over and over again. And I can't wait to see where she goes from here. That's all. And I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next time.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.